Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vadesa Charane Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatiranyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadad, Hara Sri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you want Gajendra Mokshana. All right, you can correct my mistakes. So, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma tells his son Narada very quick one-verse summaries of so many different incarnations of Krishna. Because in the previous chapter, Narada was questioning his father, "Are you the Supreme?" And he said, "But I have some doubt because I see that you also do penances and austerities even though you are the most powerful." So Brahma, being the true, most intelligent, and he's also a devotee, immediately said, "No, I am not supreme. Above me is the Supreme Lord, Krishna." And then he started to describe in one verse, different Leela avatars. And one of those that he described was the summary of the deliverance of Gajendra. So later in the eighth canto, Shukadeva Goswami gives the description of the deliverance of Gajendra. The elephant Gajendra was sporting in this nice area. I think the mountain was Trikuta Mountain. And he was with his wives and he was playing and bringing them water and they were enjoying. He was spraying with his trunk. And he was, this Trikuta mountain area is very heavenly. So he was enjoying nicely when all of a sudden he's interrupted. He gets attacked by a crocodile. And so there is a fight between Gajendra and the crocodile. And the fight lasted many, many, many long years. Now, the problem is the elephant, his natural situation is not in the water. He can go in the water temporarily. Whereas the crocodile is only on the land temporarily, the crocodile naturally stays in the water. So the fight was in the water. So since Gajendra is a land animal, he's not accustomed or is not in his natural situation. So after many years of fighting, the crocodile was getting strength and nourishment because he was in his natural situation. Whereas Gajendra was getting weak being in the water. So when this point comes in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes a very, very interesting purport. And he points out that in our Krishna consciousness movement, not everybody is fit for sannyas. And just because somebody is not fit for sannyas, That is not a disqualification. Prabhupada says the real thing is we are all fighting the crocodile of Maya. That is the struggle that we are in, all of us, every single one of us. We're fighting the crocodile of Maya. So you have to fight with as much vigor and with as much strength as you can. So some people are brahmacharis. Most people are grihastas. And then sannyasis, even fewer. So whether you're a brahmachari, grihasta, sannyasi, we all have the same business, fighting the crocodile of Maya. So you have to find your situation where you are feeling strong. You have to either situate yourself as a brahmachari, grihasta, and sannyasi in such a way that you will have the ultimate amount of strength. Physicals, you need your health. You need your health, but you also need your psycho. You also need mental strength. So you have to find the situation that is going to work best for you so that you can fight Maya. And when Prabhupada wrote this purport, it also coincided with one of his sannyasis, Madhuvisa Swami, who had taken sannyas at a very young age. He was one of the first ISKCON sannyasis. I remember him. And he took sannyas in his 20s. And he is famous for preaching in Australia. To this day, I was in Australia in January. Still, all the devotees remember this Madhuvis, who just passed away earlier this year. He passed away. Oh, no, last year. He passed away right after Rath Yatra. It was last year he passed away. But it was he who really established Krishna consciousness in Australia. And there's an interesting story about him, that in those days, the early 70s, the devotees all day would go out 12 hours chanting on the street. So one day they got arrested, the whole bunch of devotees. Now Madhuvis is such a devotee, he has written the most letters to Srila Prabhupada. He has a book like this of letters from Prabhupada. So he had a special relationship with Prabhupada. Prabhupada would respond to so many letters he wrote. I saw the book. It's quite thick. So in jail, he wrote to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you told us to go out and chant on the street. Now we're in jail. What do we do now? Prabhupada wrote back, what are you crying? Chant in the jail. So they did that. And because they chanted in the jail, the police said, all right, no more charges, just go. We can't take this chanting. So they followed Prabhupada's instruction. They got out of the jail. I have a similar incident. I was in Indiana once. So it was me and this Jewish devotee. And he was very eccentric. When he joined the temple as a hippie, he used to bring a tambourine to the kirtan. And he was like this. So the devotees gave him a nickname, Tambourine Man. But he became a devotee, got initiated. So it was me and him in this one place, South Bend, Indiana, where Notre Dame is. So it was in the evening, I dropped him off at the Kmart, and I went to a different place to distribute books. And I told him, I'll come by at 9 o'clock and pick you up. So at 9 o'clock comes, I'm driving the van, and I'm I don't see him, so I circle the parking lot 1, 2, 3 times. I realize there's only one place he could be. So I find out where the police station is. So I go up to the desk sergeant, and I said, and the man said, Wes? I said, did you arrest? Yes. Look, there's no charges. Just take your friend and leave. Because as soon as they arrested him, he would not stop. He would be like this, Hare Krishna, Krishna. All the way in the police car, in the jail, he's just like this constantly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So the policeman said, just go. Take your friend and go. I said, no problem. So the devotees, and there's hundreds of stories like this about devotees, how they just depend on Krishna. And it looks like everything is dark, dark. But you depend on Krishna, you come out. And I know another story. You want to hear one more?
Yes.
All right. So in 1974, Brooklyn Temple, that's where I joined. One Saturday, the whole temple went on the subways distributing books. The whole temple. One pujari stayed back. Temple president went. Everybody. So the whole subways of New York were just filled with devotees. We would go on the trains and make an announcement. Excuse me, everybody. We're passing out our magazines. We're going to come by. And we had buckets. Take one of our books and give a donation. And that day I was the big collector, $500. We went out from right after breakfast to like 8 o'clock at night. So one devotee, Radha Balava, he was arrested by the police. So as they're taking him off the train to the police station, during that time it was Damodar prayers. Okay, so he started to recite out loud the English translation to the Damodar prayers. And when he comes to the line, bimba fruit, you know, there's that one, your cheeks, the color of bimba. The police says, bimba fruit, get out of here. And he let him go. Just by that, I guess the chanting of the verses purified the policeman. When he heard bimba fruit, it was like too much for the guy. I heard that story personally from Radha Balava. So that's called the sidetrack. Okay, I'll get back to the story. So this Madhavisa, that's where I got sidetracked. Being a sannyasi, after so many years, he decided to get married. So he gave up his sannyas, got married to a devotee. And this, I think, was one of the first ones like this. So it was a big thing in the movement. Everybody gossiping. So after some time, he must have written to Prabhupada saying, I'm sorry that I gave up my sannyas, but I still want to do service for you. So Prabhupada, of course, welcomed him. But when he went to see Prabhupada, some of the senior devotees were giving him a hard time and discouraging him. So Prabhupada got very upset with those devotees, saying, now you've made it so difficult for him. He's trying to come back, and you've made it so difficult for him. So that's an interesting lesson, that even though he had fallen from sannyas, Prabhupada still was willing to accept service from him. This, for me, I find amazing. So this purport is about him, where Prabhupada is saying, okay, you could not fight Maya as a sannyasi. Okay, you got married, but don't give up fighting Maya. You keep chanting. You keep trying to render service. It's okay. Just keep trying to fight Maya. That's the purport, the main thing of the purport. That, okay, you have fallen. Doesn't matter. Pick yourself up. Start trying to fight Maya. So, for Gajendra now, the fight is going on. He's losing. So Gajendra remembers a verse, a shloka, a prayer that he had learned in his previous life. Because in his previous life, he was Indradumna, right? I know you know this story better than me. He was King Indradumna, but he committed an offense and he was cursed to become an elephant. So even though he's in the body of an elephant, he had remembered that prayer. And so with his trunk, he plucked a lotus flower, offered it to Krishna, and somehow, as an elephant, and Krishna's in the heart, so he knew what Gajendra's trying to do. The Lord heard that prayer and delivered him. So the Lord came on the back of Garuda and with his Sudarsan Chakra cut off the head of the crocodile. And out from the crocodile was originally some rishi. You know his name? The rishi had also committed some offense and he was cursed to take birth as a crocodile. So Gajendra was touched by Krishna and then assumed his forearm form. Is that what happened? Okay, what I remember is that after he killed the crocodile, he pulled the elephant out and the elephant assumed his Vaikuntha form and went back to Godhead. Now, on this point of offering that prayer, Prabhupada makes the point that besides the Hare Krishna mantra, we should memorize some shlokas so that if at the time of death, if for some reason we forget the Hare Krishna mantra, I find that hard to believe, but if for some reason you forget, you may remember the shlokas that you have regularly chanted. Like you were telling me every day you're doing this Makavacha, Nisringa Kavacha. Right. So maybe this is a blessing in disguise that you will now memorize this Nisringa Kavacha. And at the time of your death, if for some reason you don't remember Hare Krishna, you will get the Nisringa Kavacha. I have a god brother who just passed away last year, and he had two heart attacks. The first heart attack, he told me that even though he was out of it and in the hospital, the doctor said he's mumbling something. He was actually chanting, even though he was in a coma. The doctor said, he's mumbling something. And so Urjan Swat said, yeah, I was still chanting. And I saw him a week before he had his second heart attack and passed away. He was a friend of mine. I only knew him a little bit, but once he really saved me from Maya. I was deep, deep, deep. I thought I would never see the light of day. But this Urjan Swat, he's a big black devotee from Texas. Very funny. And he saved me. And I told him when I saw him, I said, you saved me and I will always be indebted to you. And he had a very funny way of preaching. He had a Texas accent. He used to say, Prabhu, I want to talk to you. Step outside your body. I want to talk to you. Because you're not your body. So I want you to step outside your body. I want to talk to you, Prabhu. And then he had another expression. My mind was blown like a chickpea hit by a baseball bat. But of course, I don't do it justice. You would have to hear Urjaswat. And in his, in the years he was in Texas, and what Urjaswat told me last year was that for some time he was like a close confidential friend of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And I'm just telling you what he said, that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was surrounded by many people would just say yes, yes, yes to everything. But Urjaswat, he would always say, nah. And so Tamal Krishna appreciated that he was the only one who would actually tell him what he honestly thought and not just yes, 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 yes. So he respected Urjaswat. And Urjaswat was like kind of proud that, yeah, I'm the only one who can tell TKG. That's what he told me. So, like that. So, Gajendra was delivered simply because he remembered that shloka, which is reminds me of Ajamil. How Ajamil, even though he was so fallen that, and he wasn't even signifying God, he was just calling his son. But because the name of the son was Narayan, he got the result. And at that crucial moment, when the Yamadutas came, Narayan! And then the Lord sent his servants to save him. I love that story of Ajamil. And then in there, Prabhupada says, therefore we give our disciples names like Krishna Das, Govinda Das. So again, if at the time of death you can't remember the holy name, if you remember your own name, you can get delivered. So, or your child's name, if you name them names of Krishna or devotees of Krishna. So this movement is so, so wonderful. I love our philosophy. Our philosophy is so hopeful. Our philosophy is not negative. Our philosophy is hopeful. Even though at the end of the fifth canto, that chapter, the description of the hellish planets. But right after that is the story of Ajamil. That it, yes, there are these hells, but guess what? Just chant the holy name of God, you can be delivered. And it just takes one utterance, just one pure utterance. It saves you backwards and forwards. So you never know. You may have already once chanted Krishna's name without offense. You're going back to Godhead. Now that doesn't mean I should stop chanting. I must have. I've been chanting for 40 years. No, we keep chanting. But it just takes one pure utterance, you're delivered. So it's a very hopeful philosophy, very happy. I love this Krishna consciousness. My only regret, it took me 23 years. If I had known this when I was 16, I know I'd be a sannyasi right now. But wasn't in the cards. 23. Better late than never. Questions? Yes?
We know the Krishna conscious philosophy. We love it, right? You know, it must close to our heart. But when it on kids, right? Like, you know, why, like, you know, it just, like, you know, we go towards Maya, then Maya, like Maya part.
Well,
I mean, you know, like, we think about them, like, so sometimes, like, I feel that, you know, okay, I'm chanting, but my mind is, like, you know, with them.
That's natural. That's natural. So the best thing for you is when you think of your kids, pray for them that they become like you. You can pray. You can do worship. You can do japa. You can do everything and offer it on their behalf. Did you know that? Yes, you can do like that. That's what you're doing now. Yes? You can do like that. I do that. I pray for my daughter, my grandson, my son-in-law, my wife. And I get emails every day. Prabhuji, I need a blessing, please. Yes. I'm going to pray for your son. The next song I'm going to do is going to be directly for your son. Yes. So is that all right?
Yeah, that's all right. But I just have like one little question arising the same.
Yes. No, it's not selfish. It's natural. Prabhupada uses the same logic. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I'm equal. Right? Samaham sarvabhuteshu. Right? But, Krishna also says, but my devotee, I give special attention. And Prabhupada explains it, saying that a man, a good man, he's nice to everyone, but he's going to give special attention to his own family members. There's no fault in that. No, that's not selfish. No. Pray for them. No, nothing wrong. You're okay. No. Unless you want to be like Kunti. You want to be like Kunti? You know Kunti? That prayer of Kunti? Please sever my tie of affection. Good luck. I'm not on Kunti's platform. If you can get on Kunti's platform, then I'll take the dust of your feet right now. Huh? You know what I'm talking about. Please sever my tie of affection. But actually, Prabhupada explains, she wants that bodily identification. But you can pray for your children and relatives, not as your relatives, but as devotees, spirit souls, then you're clear. But even still, there's no harm in praying for your family members. Our philosophy is not cuckoo. It's a sane philosophy. It's normal. It's, what's the word? Practical. And susukam kartam avyam. It's easy. Otherwise, I would have not lasted. It's easy. What else? You have a question. I can see it.
In your class, maybe.
That's true. That's generally true because it's simple. You want to add anything on Gajendra? Yes, you do. What do I know? One time, I'll tell you the story. I went to South India in 2008. I was the guest of my friend Mr. Murthy, Srinivas Murthy. So we did a program at his home, and he had a friend, I can't remember his name, but this friend of his was famous in South India for Harikatha. There were, I think it's three brothers. One brother, he passed away, but he established in Bangalore a Bhagavad Gita temple, which I visited. This Bhagavad Gita temple, it's a huge temple, and inside they have Vishwarup. But on the ceiling and on the walls is every shloka of Bhagavad Gita in four languages. Hindi, Tamil, and two other languages. It's all over, you know, like in big, it's like it's part of the structure. So this friend of his, that's his temple, he passed away. So Srinivas was the friend of that. So we went there. Then this other brother, he is famous for doing Harikatha. And so he spoke at Murthy's program and I spoke. And I was a little nervous because he's already famous in South India. But I guess he liked what I did because he said, I'm going to bring you to two temples of mine. So one temple he brought me to, we did this Gajendra. And the way we did it, I spoke in English like a few sentences, and then he would do, what do they speak in Bangalore? Kannada. Okay. So he told the story, you know, parallel in his language, but his was far better. I could tell. I mean, he was really good. So we did the whole Gajendra Katha, section by section. Then a few days later, we went to this other temple, and it's a temple of, what is that? It's a Madhvacharya temple. And it just so happens that that day, their acharya was there at the temple. It was young sannyasi, like in his 20s, but he was the acharya. So again, I was nervous, like, oh, so he's going to check me out. Anyway, at the end of the lecture, he said, I'm very, very happy to know that the philosophy of Madhvacharya is presented nicely. So I felt good that I got recognized because I was like, okay, here's your test. All right.
One question.
Yes, my friend.
So we always say, let's try to remember Krishna at the time of leaving the body. But what if, what would be one's destination if one remembers Prabhupada at the time of leaving the body?
I have gotten this question so many times. If you remember Prabhupada, how could you not remember Krishna? If you're remembering Prabhupada, you're going to automatically think of Krishna because you're not going to think of Prabhupada in a vacuum. Say you're thinking of Lord Chaitanya. If you're thinking of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna's going to be there. So whether it's your guru, say you think of Lokanath Maharaj at the time of death. You thinking of Lokanath, eventually you're going to think of Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, and Krishna. And even if not, your guru, you think of your guru, who do you think is going to come and save you at the time of death? Yes. We sing, what's the first song we sing every day? Vande Guru Sri. That's the first song we sing every day. Then at 7 o'clock, what's the next song? Sri Guru Charana. The guru, in our movement, the guru is given so much prominence. But don't worry. And then the other question, which Prabhupada writes about. Say you don't even remember your guru, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. Still, you have done devotional service all your life. You're going to get the benefit. Even if for some reason you don't remember Krishna. See, that's what I like about Krishna. He's not this vindictive God. You didn't remember me at the time of death. Doesn't matter what you did in your life. You didn't remember me. Go to hell. That's not the God that we worship. Our God is loving, compassionate, merciful. What did Prabhupada used to tell us? Your children, They do any service, there's a book with their name on it. Every devotional activity is noted. So there's a book with your name on it. You don't think you're going to get credit for what you're doing with the Bhakti Vriksha, with the new temple? You brought me twice to New Jersey. Not for devotees. That book is gone. He was asking me. Once you get initiated, there's no more karma. It's just you and Krishna. For the non-devotees, they're dealing with karma and the material energy. Once you get initiated, you're in a different category now. Now whatever is happening is between you and Krishna. Still, he gets punished by Krishna. Yes, do you agree? That's how I was taught. You're dealing with Krishna. So yes, you may get suffering, but that suffering, who would you rather get punishment from? Krishna or some stranger? So yes, it's Krishna's way of bringing you. You like Lord Ramachandra, right? After all, you got the name. What does Ramachandra say in Ramayana? And it's quoted by Lord Chaitanya. That if anyone once sincerely surrenders to me, I never forget. And who do you have in your temple? Yeah. Have you not surrendered?
Many times.
Many times. What are you worried about? What did Prabhupada say? Chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles. When do you go back home, back to Godhead? This lifetime. I think I even mentioned it. I know people who don't believe that. And then I asked everybody in the audience, do you believe it? Everybody raised their hand, I think. But still, she doesn't want to ask a question. Or she wants to ask privately. Or am I annoying you?
No. I think what I was thinking was if you can elaborate a little bit more on how Lord Krishna ran towards Gajendra when in his pain he was in a lot of pain and he was, like you said, he was losing the battle. And in that pain, he lifted the lotus flower and offered it to the Lord. So if you can explain us through the mercy of the Lord.
After all of us are God's children. So your child, how many children you have?
One.
Okay. So son or daughter?
Son.
So no matter, God forbid, I'm saying, but let's say later on something bad, right? You're not going to stop loving him and you're not going to stop caring for him. It'll cause you pain, but you'll always be hoping and praying he comes back, rectifies. It's not going to happen. I'm just giving this as an example, okay? That connection between you and your son is never going to end, okay? It's there. I know. My wife and my daughter. My daughter's 40. My daughter comes first before me for my wife. Okay? They're like pals. I understand it. I understand it completely. So, we are Krishna's children. He has affection for us. He's in your heart. He sees everything. He knows everything. And what is Krishna's desire? He wants you to come back more than we want to go back, Prabhupada says. So, Gajendra, soon as he offered that prayer, the Lord was prepared to come. So never underestimate the power of prayer. The power of prayer, Krishna's in your heart, and he will answer. I have so much personal experience of this. You just pray to Krishna. I was telling the devotees this morning, look who's here. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. There's one Marathi lady. She was part of my Bhakti Vriksha group for many years. She wanted to get initiated from Loknath Maharaj. But her husband, he's a complete control freak. And the idea of her taking initiation, So she came to me. I said, you pray to Lord Jagannath. In LA Temple, we have big Jagannath deity. So she followed my advice. She prayed to Jagannath every day. Sometime later, her and her husband, they're in ISKCON, Bombay, in the guest house. Loknath Maharaj goes to their room, initiates her in front of the husband. The power of prayer. Then after she got initiated, she came to me, Prabhu, I want to get second initiation, but Ashok will never allow it. I said, you haven't learned your lesson? Go to Jagannath. Sure enough, she got Brahman initiation. So pray. Pray like anything. Now, what I tell people, don't go to Krishna with a big list. Because now you're making it difficult. Like with Hiranyakashipu, Brahma said this. So it was like, make it simple for Krishna. Pick one thing that you want the most, and that's what you, and make it your constant prayer. For you, I would advise, please deliver my son. That's it. That's all you want. Deliver him. Save him. Correct? Deliver him, save him. This should be a constant prayer. While you're sleeping, that prayer should be going on. Trust Krishna. What else can you do? You got the lawyers. Stay on top of it. After that, pray. And of course, like we discussed, you have to make a few phone calls tomorrow. Okay? Shh. Good enough? Happy?
Yes.
Any more questions?
I have a question.
Yes. In this movement, yes.
Movement. So to her, it's like completely understood. There is no doubt, 100%. He knew him. I can't understand how he knew him. And even when I meditated and saw Krishna in the meditation, it was a depiction of art that the devotees had created, like the baby. And I thought, he had a relationship. He knew him. What transpired for me was it was his devotion. Why he knew him, or am I not understanding how he knew him?
We, okay, somebody says they know he, that's nice. We can only go by what Prabhupada has said himself, And based on several statements, yes, that is the conclusion. But we only know by what he has told us. For instance, on the boat, he had two heart attacks. But after the second one, he had a dream. And in the dream, Krishna was rowing a boat and indicating that, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. And sure enough, he came to him, you know, he made it to America. And there are some other incidents. So we have, and I think some devotees from their interactions with Prabhupada and certain incidents that they experienced, they also came to that conclusion. For me personally, I have no way of knowing. The only thing I do know that in this life I have never met anyone like Prabhupada, and I heard and saw enough to convince me that he is worth surrendering to. So different devotees may have had different experiences. You know, I'm not going to take anything away from what I mean, Prabhupada did not make it cheap. He may have said some things, you know, here and there. He didn't make a big deal out of it. Prabhupada wanted us to come to Krishna consciousness not out of sentiment or magic, so to speak. He wanted us to accept Krishna on the basis of the scriptures. And that's how he presented the philosophy. You never heard Prabhupada say, surrender to me because I'm the guru. No, Prabhupada would present the philosophy. This is what Krishna says. These are the qualities of a spiritual master. This is the standard. He didn't make it the International Society for A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He made Krishna the center. So the devotees, in his association, hearing him, they concluded Prabhupada is a bona fide, genuine spiritual master. He didn't make it about himself. That's why it's not a cult. We're practicing the original, pure philosophy known as Krishna consciousness. Everything's a cult. The Republican Party's a cult. Who's not in a cult? Everything, if you're going to go by that definition, the Republicans are the biggest cult. The Koch brothers are a cult. Come on. No, we're following a religious practice. And it's not a new religion. No, this has been going on since the dawn of creation. Bhagavad Gita is 5,000 years ago, but before Bhagavad Gita, there was worship of Krishna. So our philosophy dates to the dawn of creation.
4.5 billion years?
Whenever. I don't know. Whenever the dawn of creation was.
Okay.
Good enough?
So it's not as long as this planet has been here. It's just when life.
Well, when the universe is created, immediately the philosophy, the nutshell philosophy of pure love of God is there. Shall we chant?
Yes.